1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sunday, May 26th, the greatest spectacle in racing returns. The Indianapolis 500 on NBC and Peacock. 33 of the world's fastest drivers go head-to-head for a chance to kiss the bricks, taste the milk, and claim their place in racing history. Experience the drama, the pageantry, the tradition. Live from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Indy 500. Sunday, May 26th on NBC and Peacock. Or listen on Sirius XM NBC Sports Channel.
If I do this, am I going to be okay with this? With this, all of the, you know, the attention.
With all due respect, now I can say whatever I want. That's how it works, I think.
I really do think that Aaron Rodgers watches our show because we do that. We've been saying that for years. Well, we've all due respect.
We've said that with him before, right?
This is the week of due respect to be given to the new members of the Hall of Fame.
There it is.
The gold jackets to be distributed on Friday night. The bronze busts to be unveiled on Saturday. And we are here in Canton. A year has gone by since the last time we were in this library.
Right.
With a bunch of books you've never either seen nor read before, although you have seen them before because they loomed over us last year when we were here.
Yeah, right, right.
For 3 days.
There's less books here.
One of us was here for 3 days.
Somebody walked in here and stolen some books from this hotel.
You were here for 2 days.
Yeah.
Last year. You know, it's funny. I didn't step into that trap again. I get all excited. We're going on the road. We're going to be here 3 days. We get to do the show together 3 days, and you get all, you know, oh, yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to be together, and then Friday comes, and you're just gone.
I know.
This year, I'm ready for it. Yeah. Last year, I stepped in the
trap. Okay, good. Be ready for it. What's going to piss you off more is I'm actually going to be here this year, right? I'm actually going to be here. I'm staying. So, I mean, the Hall of Fame, which is...
Well, why aren't you going to do the show then?
Well, I don't know. You don't pay me to do the show on Fridays. I don't know if I can work it out. I got to see if I can work it in my contract, okay? We'll see if we get there, right? But no, I am. I don't even... I guess I didn't even tell you this.
No, you did. You're staying because Rondé Barber's
staying.
Yeah,
right.
So you got no excuse.
I'm going to be a part of the festivities. I am going to a different hotel once the game is over Thursday. My wife has beaten me Thursday night, right? We've been always great friends with the Rondé Barber and his family, his wife, Claudia. They're going to be here. So, yeah, we're going to stay downtown, you know, where there's a little more action on Friday, Saturday, whatever. And then, you know, we'll go to the festivity Saturday, enjoy that, enjoy the barbers and the whole thing there.
Speaking of hotels, anything you want to get off your
I'm good. I'm good.
Today?
I feel like
the
origami sheets, like somebody in the hotel heard me
last year. I think they watched the show.
They might have watched the show.
Because I grabbed my coverlet and sheet planning to have to, like, do some maneuvering and some pulling and some tugging, and the whole thing just like that. The whole thing just went right off the bed.
Yeah, it was the first thing I did when I walked in the room. I said, let me look at the bed. Let me see if the sheets have changed. And I feel like they did. And sleeping in them last night, I never had to get up and go, oh, wait, hold on. Let me pull this one here and that one there. So they self-scouted themselves. I'm very proud of them.
That's
here.
Good. Yeah. I figured you'd be happy. It's rare. It's rare
that
you're happy with the accommodation. Yeah. So this is a momentous day.
Hall of Fame?
Well, we're here. We are here
for
the next 3 days or 2 days, but literally here for 3 days. By the way. My wife is very impressed, and I want to say this. This is primarily for the control room in Stanford.
I thought it was going to be something about me.
No, it is about you, but it's not about anything you did.
Okay.
Directly.
Right.
She started asking me on Monday afternoon, evening, did you talk about what happened to me on your show? It's like, well, yes, was I not supposed to? And for those of you who missed Monday's show, my wife had a pair of garden shears in the pocket on the car of her door. She opened it up. It fell out. It hit her leg, yada, 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 three stitches, and she's not good with blood, and it was a whole ordeal. And right. I told the whole story on Monday.
Right.
Because all these people that didn't know about it knew about it.
Yeah.
And we're asking her about it. She's
right.
like, how did they even know about it? Like, how does anybody know about this?
Yeah.
So she went back and watched it yesterday, and she was very impressed
right.
that
oh.
on cue.
Right.
Up came the video.
When I asked about how much
Big
did you
Lummix
care,
yeah. falling off the stage at the Super Bowl, and I said they've used it a time or two. Like I'm sure it's not very far from anyone's
there it
reach.
Is. There
a little
is.
Farther
oh, there it is again.
A little farther than you were from my reach on that day.
Right.
Back in Arizona in February, but yes, it's always there and ready to go. So
yeah.
she was very impressed with that. Compliments for the
yeah.
control room.
The technology is one of the positives right there.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
So, by the way, the show is PFT Live. We're here on Peacock, Sirius XM 85, Sky Sports Action, and wherever you get your podcasts, however you get your podcasts.
8 second clip. You still didn't get up to get help me there.
No, well, once you're locked into the matrix here, like
yes,
Keanu
right,
Reeves,
right.
you got to get this stuff all off.
Yeah.
If you get up, like, you don't know what's going to happen. Right. Your shirt might rip off.
Right,
nobody
yeah,
wants
sure,
to see that.
Sure, sure.
Not from me. Maybe from you. I don't know.
Nobody wants to see me anymore.
You get to see your scar.
Yeah, you get to see my scar. That's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Hall anything else? Anything else you want to
no,
talk
no,
about?
I
feel like we got five more minutes to waste.
I don't know. I kind of see the Hall of Fame there and the class and all that. I mean, I feel like that's where we can at least jump off on and just get into it at least a little bit.
And you know, we're in
no
Canton. We're in Canton. We're not really in Canton. Pete points out it's the same zip code. It's about a half hour away.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
what's the update on whether we're doing the show at the stadium?
I don't think
tomorrow?
It's happening. I think
oh, really? Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah,
that's
you probably sabotaged it behind
that's a shame.
The scenes,
no,
right?
I really
yeah,
lobbied
sure.
aggressively
yeah,
on that
right.
one.
Thank
I won't
you.
Say which way I
mean,
lobbied.
We're only at the Hall of Fame. Why wouldn't we do the show at the freaking Hall of Fame? I don't know. Okay. But either way, here is the Hall of Fame induction class. I think actually really, like, it's a pretty impressive class this year. Got a little bit of everything. Old school guys that deserve to get in that I don't think got in. We got some guys that I think are in the upper, I would say the upper room. I'd put Darrell Revis in the
yes.
Deion Sanders upper
yes.
room, right?
Absolutely.
You know,
Darrell
Joe
Revis.
Thomas probably too.
What I did over the weekend, and we were thinking about doing this, and I got distracted with other things, not including, but definitely, well, including my wife's injury, but I went through and thought we could have a conversation this week about who would be in
yeah.
Deion Sanders' upper room.
Right.
Those are two of the names that I put on the list.
Yeah, sure.
And look, with all due respect, see, Aaron?
Look
with all
you.
Due respect to the nine names on that screen, that's too many. That's the problem. That's where this whole argument came
sure.
From Deion
sure.
Sanders.
Right.
Nine in 1 year is too many. The honor begins to lose some of its sizzle
yeah.
when there's that many. But the other side of the coin,
right.
and this may not be a popular thing to say, but it's truth. It's a museum.
Yeah.
It's a business. It's an event.
It's an event.
It's a happening. And the more people get in, the more people come, the more people go to the speeches, the more people fill the hotels, the more people are there for the parade, the more people go to the game. And you can't be like baseball where some years they're like, well, there won't
There's
be
only
any.
One or
we
none.
We won't have
right.
any.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know.
Where is everybody?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's so, and I think five is the sweet spot. I think nine is overboard.
Yeah,
it's
I hear
too
you.
Many.
I'm with you in all that conversation. The problem is, you know, they opened up Pandora's box, or it's a slippery slope now.
Where is Pandora
Yeah,
man,
well, she's here. And you look at it, and it's just like, you know, where I don't know how they fix that or go back to maybe the old the formula and making it a little bit more elite or prestigious. I don't know if they can really fix that now. They've started.
Make the upper room.
Well,
make the
maybe
upper
they
room.
Need to have an upper room and, yes, make that part of it, but we still have the other seven guys get enshrined in. Because now we're at a point, too, what's happened, let's say, over the last 10, 15, 20 years, certain guys have got in. Because it's maybe too many, like you're saying, and it's become a big thing on publicity and everything else, where now it's, wait, he got in? And then
right.
there's 10 guys from that guy's team are going clamoring behind the scenes and goes, wait, if you put him in, then this guy has to be in because he was our best defensive player or better than the guy you already put in the Hall of Fame. And so that's where it's kind of gotten to become a slippery slope, and I think – you know, maybe that's why we see extended numbers for sure.
And that's where the argument came from
Deion
for
Sanders.
An upper room.
Yeah.
And maybe there is a way to construct that. And it would be great if someone in charge of the Hall of Fame would listen to Deion Sanders and say, we can do this. And it would be less political. The Hall of Fame process, it is political.
Yeah.
The voters get lobbied. Shereen Williams works for me at PFT. Sure. I hear all the time about the different people who call her up and work her about this person or that person. That's just the way it goes anytime you're talking about an election. But if they could come up with, and Deion Sanders' approach is, we know.
Yeah.
The Hall of Famers know.
Right.
The guys in the upper room.
The guys
know.
You don't really have to think about. It's like, it's like, oh, wait, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. That's it. That's I think, a baseline test for it. Or
we'll hear about that from time to time when they do the selection process, the mic drop, Peyton Manning.
Yeah. See you later.
Brett Favre.
Right. Ray Lewis.
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point to even discuss it.
Exactly.
If you have to have the discussion, if there has to be the debate.
Right.
If it's a debate based on merit, not based upon petty BS because we don't like Terrell Owens.
Right.
Because Terrell Owens was mean to me once.
Yeah.
So we're going to make him wait 2 years, which was a load of crap. But they, because I think he belongs in
the upper room.
Upper room.
He's one of the three, four
he
greatest
had to fight
receivers
to get
ever.
In, right. And he belongs in the upper room.
Yeah, that because that was some political BS, right? And that's some of the stuff we don't like, certainly.
People had themselves twisted in knots to defend that one.
Right.
Gary Myers, I don't want to name names with all due respect, but he had himself twisted in knots because he didn't like Terrell
Owens.
Personal. That's
right.
Crap.
Yeah.
That's not the way it should be.
No, it's not. And, you know, yeah, there's people who have done worse or whatever else off the
right.
field and gotten in, and some for some reason nobody had a problem with some of those guys.
But, Chris, where that's so revealing is that same aspect of human nature
right.
that mobilizes someone to say, I don't want him in, is also there on the other side
yeah,
of the
point. Yeah, that's right.
To let someone in
sure.
who shouldn't be
sure.
in because I like
right.
him.
Right.
He's nice to
right.
me. I've known him for years. I know his dad. I know his brother. They talk to me all the time. They give me information. They give me access.
Yeah.
Ooh, they're good people. They should be in the Hall of Fame. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
We should give them what they want because I like them. That's where the whole human element screws it all up. Whereas when it's, you know it when you see it, it's nothing personal. These are the best of the best.
Yes.
And whether it's Deion Sanders and a group led by Deion Sanders who makes a determination, and they have skin in the game. Their status is undermined if they let someone in who shouldn't be in.
Sure, sure.
And it's like, hey, it's nothing personal.
Yeah.
You don't belong.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right.
We know who belongs.
Right.
You don't belong. And you're still in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But you're just not getting in this room.
Yeah. It takes the shine off of those guys, like you're talking about. The Lawrence Taylors, the Reggie Whites, the Deion Sanders, where we just go, wait, Tom Brady, like you said, Peyton Manning, they're in a different stratosphere. And they're going, wait, you know, my bust is in here with, you know, some of these schleps who I went, you know, I kicked the crap out of or beat or whatever, or couldn't shine my shoes. And I understand that. And that's maybe where the conversation for the upper room is, you know, is just in that manner, certainly. Yeah.
The hardest part of that.
Right.
And I struggled with this on Sunday or Saturday, whatever day I was trying to rough out a list. The guys pre-Super Bowl, the guys pre-NFL films,
sure.
the guys pre-highlights,
right.
those are the ones that you're just kind of relying upon what you've always
old-timers,
heard.
Old-timers, people, right?
Like Otto Graham and Sammy Baugh.
Sure.
Like, well, I've heard how great these guys are for all these years, so they would presumably be in it, but I have nothing really to back it up on because it's not like we can go to YouTube and see, and I suppose there's Sammy Baugh, grainy old black and white highlights somewhere, but what do you really pick up from that compared to what you see today when we see and we watch and we know who's great? That's the thing. From the moment NFL films came along, the moment the Super Bowl era started, it's all there. You can see it. You can see Jim Brown running around and through and over anyone in his path, and it's undeniable that he belongs.
Yes.
When you get pre-1960, it's going to be a challenge. And that would be a reason for some to say we shouldn't do it. Because we can't be fair all the way back to the dawn of football. Well, we got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
You got it. You got it. Sorry, somebody's going to get left out because they played pro football in 1936.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's the way
Sorry,
it
that's
yeah.
just the way it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I know. That's
but
right.
if we want to lay the foundation for a true sense of exclusivity, true greatness, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
So, Deion, we are behind you.
Yeah.
1,000%. And Pete points out, by the way, that 2005 was the last time there were fewer than six inducted.
Right.
See, football is business. Hall of Fame is
sure.
business. Business is business. You can't have a small class. You can't have an exclusive class. You got to have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
9. I'm surprised it was 9. I guess I hadn't noticed or I had forgotten or I hadn't done the math. Usually it's 7 or 8.
Right.
Recently. It had been 5 or 6, and now it's 9. why not go ahead and make it an even 10? Let's go ahead. Let's round it up to 10. Let's put 10 in next year.
I mean, it's a big number. You're right. But with the current status of the Hall of Fame and what we're talking about, and Pete and guys, can you bring back up that the graphic of all the Hall of Fame inductees? It's hard for me to be negative or look at any of these guys.
And
for the way it's set up right now, right? Like, I look at Rondé Barber. Of course, he's a great fan, and I'm biased. But at the same time, too, what I'll tell you is, like, he's one of the best nickel corners in the history of football and, like, started the recent trend where we know nickel defense is on the field every play. Well, the Buccaneers and Rondé Barber, they started that. So he has great roots in the history of football that maybe not everybody knows about, let alone awesome, right? Don Coryell, the famous passing game, probably should have been there a long time ago. I don't know. Coaches, if you don't win a Super Bowl, you just don't ever get talked about in that way. But Coryell, I think, had maybe one of the biggest influences in the passing game in the history of football.
If you don't get there. Bud Grant didn't win one.
Right, yes.
Coryell didn't get there.
Sure, right.
That's the difference.
Right, I hear you. Yes, you're right. There is a difference there. Chuck Halley's kind of one of those old-timers, right, that you'd probably have to
lean on. But he was Super Bowl era.
Super Bowl era.
Only MVP of a losing team in Super Bowl.
Super Bowl V, right?
Yeah. Here's the problem. The reason why there are that many names on that board, and some of those guys like Coryell and Ken Riley and Chuck Halley.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Núñez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history. And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
There's no place like the movie theater. The smell of fresh popcorn welcomes you to a full body experience, while candies and sodas compete for your attention.
Pick me!
Hoping to join you in the best seats you've reserved on Fandango. It's where movie lovers buy tickets, pick seats, and double up on rewards points all online. All that's left is to walk in, snack up, and sit back. Visit Fandango.com or download the app today for your ticket to the movies.
They didn't get in when their contemporaries got in.
Yeah.
And the problem is, over time, the standard has gone down.
Like I was saying.
So now we got to put in guys that didn't get in when the standard maybe was higher. Now the standard's lower. You spilled coffee all over the place,
I spilled the coffee.
Oh, well.
It went down. It's all right.
As long as it doesn't hit any electrical wires, we'll be fine.
It didn't hit any wires,
So anyway, now that the bar's gone down,
right,
they got to do cleanup on aisle five, just like cleanup under the desk.
Yeah.
They got to put guys in who get in under a relaxed standard.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just more, it's more, it's more. And that's why we are where we are. And maybe the positive end result is the creation of some sort of inner sanctum at the Hall of Fame. I've said this before. Like, I worry, not that I should, because I'll be long dead by then.
Yeah.
Like, where does all the garbage go 500 years from now? Like, where's all the garbage? Like, what do you do with all the garbage? And at some point,
I think we're already having problems with that.
Well, okay, well,
I think we shot some into space last year, actually, just to let you know, right?
There's plenty of space out there.
Apparently, but so, maybe that's why the UFOs are coming. They're like, hey, you're sending
hey, take
our
your
way.
Garbage
What's going
back.
On?
Hey, we got your bag here.
Yeah, right. You left some shit in space. Sorry.
15 minutes. But the reason I say that is, like, at some point, that museum is going to be overflowing with busts.
Yeah.
Like, if you keep this going and you keep putting in 9-10 a year, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah, definitely.
Where do we put them all?
Another wing.
And that's where it's going to coalesce that they're going to say, all right, we got to have one room with the best of the best.
Yeah.
And then if you want to meander through the Chuck Howleys and the Ken Rileys and the Don Coryells of the world, they're down there.
Right.
If you're a true historian of the game and you want to learn about it that way, but if you want to be around the greats, picked by the greats, this is what you need to do. And hey, folks who run the Hall of Fame, to the extent this is a business, that really wouldn't be bad for business.
No, it wouldn't.
To have an inner room.
No.
To have an upper sanctum.
No, they'd probably be able to have an extra special dinner, another extra special event, all these other things.
And you
can
add every year to the process the unveiling of another member of the Deion Sanders upper room.
Yeah.
As part of everything else. And maybe some year you go straight in. Hall of Fame and upper room. Tom Brady, I mean, we're going to make him wait. He's going into the upper room. But
yeah,
there's a way they could turn this into something that would create interest, generate revenue, and ultimately have a more fulfilling experience and a better sense of exclusivity for the Deion Sanders Award, because he's the one complaining about it.
Yeah.
Because what does it mean to be in the Hall of Fame when you're, you know, it's like mushrooms gone wild with these bronze busts everywhere. Who are these people?
Yeah.
They don't all belong in here. Yeah. That's his mindset.
Yeah, I hear you. I wonder what the percentage is, right, of players compared to other sports, right? Where, I mean, basketball, we know there's only 5 players on the field or 10 guys on a team, 11, 12, whatever it is. Baseball, right? You know, the same thing. To where I wonder if the numbers actually balance up with how many football players are on a team.
Yeah, they probably do, because there's only like 400, I think, in all that are in. Yeah. So that's not a bad point.
I know.
You got 22 guys on the field at any given moment.
Yeah, right. Well, my point is just that, like, I think you're onto something. You've always been onto something with this upper room and what we talked about. But there is it's a sport where we talk about more than any other sport where we forget about really good players in a hurry. Right, if they're not Tom Brady or
Priest
Peyton
Holmes.
Manning, or exactly, you're like, wait, oh my man, Priest Holmes. You're right. You go, damn, he was the best running back in football for 4 years in a row. Now we haven't talked about him in 15 years, and that's where I do like the Hall of Fame, and maybe lessening, you know, or what we have right now, where they lessen the standards maybe to a degree. That you keep some of these legends alive a little bit more, and you get lost in the shuffle in the NFL with so many players and the turnover and just how quickly it all goes.
You hear the characterization from time to time of the Hall of Fame as the Hall of Very Good. Let it be the Hall of Very Good.
Sure.
And then have the Deion Sanders upper room Hall of Fame.
I got no issue with that at all. No issue with it at all. What else? Anybody else that jump out to you on that list that you like? You know,
Well, I'm not here to right. That shouldn't
be. No, shouldn't be. Oh, it's just where you just
be
a great memory, anything or anything, or
no,
I just, you know.
Really.
Yeah,
no,
right.
No.
All right. I just.
No, there's too many.
Well,
there's too many to focus on any one of them.
Yeah. No, I mean, did you think, like, DeMarcus Ware would get in this quickly, right? You know, that's another way. I always thought, oh, yeah, he's borderline, might get in, whatever. Yes, I didn't know. I wasn't sure he'd get in this quickly. So I was happy for him.
There are some guys that do somehow manage to get in without having to wait very long who wouldn't be upper room guys. He's a guy who wouldn't be upper room, but he did get in pretty quickly.
Right.
Didn't have to wait long, just a couple of years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that surprises me a little bit. But I think there's a sensitivity among the voters because players in the past slipped through the cracks.
Yeah.
We got to be careful not to let certain others slip through the cracks.
Right.
So you get them in and you move on. And, but upper room, as we were saying, it would be Joe Thomas and Darrell Revis if we were picking any out of these
They would be upper room. And then we got, you know, like Chuck Halley, guy that's a legend of the sport that I don't think people didn't get the credit he deserved. We talked about Coryell. Joe Klecko, he was kind of the reason I brought that, you know, the conversation up a little too, because, hey, he's a guy that I grew up, you know, watching, hearing about. Damn, he was hitting my dad. My dad would always wax poetically about Joe Klecko. And I think he's a perfect example of, like, awesome player that got lost in the shuffle. It's a team that didn't win the Super Bowl. They never got to an AFC Championship game. He had Mark Gastineau on his team that overshadowed him. So that's where I like that they've lessened the standards a little bit. But, I'm with you that I think we do need a special room at some point. I think it would be best for all of football.
Super Bowl championships mean so much.
They really boost the stock of this conversation.
Yes,
right?
Yes. I mean, Lynn Swann, but for Super Bowl X, isn't in. You look at his numbers, he doesn't belong.
Yeah.
Even under the relaxed standards of the 70s where the passing game was what it is now, he wouldn't be in.
But he had two moments.
He had three moments in that game.
Right.
He had the iconic falling down, make the catch.
Right.
He had the levitation over the right sideline that is even more impressive.
It is.
Than the,
it's like he walked in air and came back in down.
It defies gravity.
Right.
It makes no sense. It looks like AI years before anybody even knew what AI was.
Right.
And then he scores a long touchdown where he throws the ball back over his head. I mean, he was open. He ran by the guy, but it's a big play at a time when they weren't throwing the ball around the way they are now. I really do think, and I don't know this, but there had to have been somebody at the league office who watched the impact of those plays.
Yeah.
And so we need more of those.
Right.
What do we do
right.
to the rule book to have more like this? We can't have just guys running around with the football and stiff arming and knocking guys down. That's played out.
Yeah.
We need more of what Lynn Swann.
More of the acrobatics.
Before you know it, that's what we have.
Yeah, the league set on fire, and now we got guys like on every team who can do that crazy kind of stuff, right? I mean, those are the best athletes in the world. But all right, I think we flushed it out.
Yeah.
It's a good talk. I would not be shocked if this theory or our idea gets adopted
and
in the next 5 to 8 years.
You know what'll happen? Right. Somebody else will get credit for it.
Oh,
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean, Deion Sanders already does.
Yeah.
So give him all the credit for it. But I don't want somebody else to act like
I think
they
we actually started before Deion.
Well, I've been complaining about this for a long time.
We had these conversations before Deion. Deion just finally was the first one that we were like, thank you.
It gives
somebody
it credibility
up. Right,
for somebody on the inside to basically say, wait a minute, what the hell?
Right.
And there's something about it that feels a little unseemly and a little arrogant, but he's right on the money.
Yeah.
Why are all these other people in here?
Yeah.
It takes away from the honor. There's too many people getting in. And I suspect he'd say the exact same thing about 9 without calling out any one of them individually, because it's a dynamic of we've watered it down. So, yeah, these names become justified now because others are in under that same standard. So, if you see him this weekend, he's stirring up. We got to get some quotes.
It won't take much to stir him up.
I don't know if.
I wish he would be here. Is he going to be here? I know he had a surgery on his leg.
He's got, I mean,
the blood clot issues.
He's coaching Colorado.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he can make it here. But if you run into him somewhere, tell him we're behind him 1,000% and whatever we can do to advance the cause of the Deion Sanders Upper Room, and call it the Deion Sanders. He's the one. Nobody else who belongs in the upper room is willing to carry the flag. If he's going to carry the flag, we'll call it the Deion Sanders Upper Room, and off we go. Okay. I thought it was over the whole Sean Payton, Nathaniel Hackett, Denver Broncos, New York Jets.
Not over until all parties speak.
That's right. And I didn't think Nathaniel Hackett was going to speak, because what I had heard all along is he's fine with what happened.
Yeah.
It's okay. He's got no problem with it. He gets it. The only concern was, you know, he's got kids and they got to deal with this. And and that's legitimate. But he had a periodic press conference, and instead of saying next question or that's been discussed or that's old news, he decided to talk about it. So he was asked yesterday, here's Nathaniel Hackett reacting to the blistering comments from last week from Sean Payton, calling, among other things, what Hackett did in Denver last year perhaps one of the worst coaching jobs of all time.
I've been involved in this business my whole life, 43 years. And as a coach, you know, as a coach's kid, you know, we live in a glass house. We know that. We all live in different rooms. We all got a key for it. And it's one of those things that there's a code, there's a way things are done in that house. And, you know, this past week, it's frustrating and it sucks, but we're all susceptible to it. There are things that you do, mistakes you make, and it costs you time on the field, costs you your job, all those things. And I own all that stuff. I mean, it's that fact. I got no excuses. Sometimes things are said that are totally uncalled for, and it does bring your team together. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I mean, there were some defensive guys I didn't even know that were coming up to me. So, I mean, I think that's great. I mean, heck, at first it was, you know, I thought something really bad had happened, you know, by people. I didn't even, hadn't heard anything till after I got off the practice field. And then all of a sudden you hear that and you're like, oh, it's just that. Okay, we can deal with that. So, but it's been good for our group.
Said publicly that he would call to apologize. Has he done that yet?
No.
Do you expect him to follow through?
No.
Or, you know,
why not?
No.
Would you answer the call?
Never. I've never met the guy, so let's get on from it. That was last week. We can move on from it. Same glass house.
He was exercising restraint with the one word answers near the end there.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. And I wonder if the number came up. And the problem is, if he doesn't know him, he's not going to recognize the number.
Right.
He's not going to know whether or not to hit yes or the FU
button.
That's
right. So you turn it off.
What do you do?
Then you hear a voicemail. You hear him and you go, F that guy. I don't want to call him back. You know, make him call again.
But, you know, they have staked out the high road on this and they've handled it very well.
Very well.
And the most important thing is, it's one of those natural organic developments that can bring a team closer together.
Right.
Nothing that you go looking for, nothing that's contrived. Nobody believes in us when everybody believes in us. The old Tom Brady shtick, right? This is real. This is an assault on a member of the coaching staff, verbal assault, but it brings the team together. Aaron Rodgers goes out and says what he says, and it reflects what the team believes, and it brings everyone closer together, and it creates the atmosphere that's going to be necessary for this week-in and week-out grind of a tough schedule where they're going to have adversity, and how are they going to deal with it. This can create the kind of bond that makes it easier to deal with the inevitable adversity, and that's the benefit. Sean Payton did them a favor.
He did them a favor.
At the end of the day.
He did, definitely. For a team that's got a lot of hoopla and everything around it, right, this is one that, you know, like you're talking about, it rallies the troops in the locker room, it rallies the coaches around each other, and might be just what the doctor orders for that football team. I mean, especially, like you brought it up, the schedule. This is a team that needs to, like, hit the ground running here. They need to be, like, full systems go for the most
part. Week one, Bills. At home.
Week two, Cowboys. Week three, New England Patriots. Not going to be easy. Week four, yeah, that man is coming to town, Mr. Number 15 wearing red and yellow, the Chiefs. And then week six, if I remember correctly.
Week five
is Denver. And then week six is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
So that's why they have an incredible first six games that we've talked about.
That bye can't
release.
Come soon enough.
Oh, my
the
God.
Bye's after the Eagles game.
But this might be the thing that lights the fire and gets everybody, you know, practicing great every day, paying attention to details. Yeah, sometimes you need that as a football team. So that's where it's good for them.
All the buildup.
Yeah.
This is one of the things I love, and it also drives me crazy. All the buildup for these teams. And we talk about it day in and day out, month after month, week after week. And once it starts, it's boom, 0-1, boom, 0-2, 1-2, 1-3.
This is the type of team where,
two and
pressure could get heavy fast, right? Right. Like you're saying, they could be sitting there and we can be going, damn, the Jets, as talented as they are, you know, they're 2-4, they're 1-5. You know, the second part of the schedule, yeah, it's doable, and they can maybe make a run there, but they could be in danger of being in too big of a hole to get out of here early in the season.
But even if that happens,
yeah.
The message is, if they're 2-4 at the bye,
yeah,
and they have 2 weeks until their next game,
yeah,
what has happened this past week will make it more likely that they come together instead of splinter apart.
Yeah.
And I think that's the favor that Sean Payton did for the New York Jets.
Yeah.
If they have early adversity, and there's a good chance they will, maybe they won't,
yeah.
But if they do, maybe they're more likely to bind together and not start pointing fingers and Aaron Rodgers getting agitated and getting rough questions and getting a little pissy. And so
they're full of energy and belief, and it's all positive things there. That was the first negative thing that hit them, and they didn't, like you said, handled it really, really well. And I think, too, you get a little inside look there to where I know we can all question Nathaniel Hackett and what he did last year with the Denver Broncos, and it wasn't good. But you could also see why guys like him, why an Aaron Rodgers likes him. You know, I know Aaron Rodgers said he's arguably my favorite coach I ever had. Nathaniel Hackett's dad was my favorite coach I ever had. Yeah, Paul Hackett is great.
Head coach at Pitt at one point.
Yeah, USC for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So he was with Bill Walsh and the San Francisco 49ers, and he was the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs when Montana went to the Kansas City Chiefs, right? But that's where I think, you know, Nathaniel Hackett, like he was talking about there, one, the team is going to rally around him, but they're getting also to see what he can handle or how he handles pressure, and he's going to get respect from that offensive group to see that he can still be positive and put a smile on his face, and, you know, his ability to knock out the noise and just continue to go to work, right, which coaches are always preaching to players. So that's where it is a positive, and I think that's where, you know, he'll gain some street credit in the locker room, like he's saying, just because of how he handled this and what he went through.
And, look, one of the realities of this situation with the Jets, and in recent years, I've been a proponent of when you're bringing in a quarterback out of the draft, young guy,
right?
You want to have an offensive head coach, not a defensive head coach, because if you have a defensive head coach, your coordinator begins to work with the player and things go well, and it's bye-bye coordinator becomes a head coach somewhere else, then you got to do it again, and you got to do it again, and you got to do it again. This situation in New York is perfect. And I thought of this the other day when I saw some of Aaron Rodgers' comments to Peter King from his training camp tour. The idea that Rodgers, for the first time, has a defensive head coach and his offensive coordinator is somebody that he's worked with in the past, and they're going to work together.
Yeah.
defense is going to be better
right.
than what Aaron Rodgers has ever had to complement the offense.
Right.
And he and Hackett take care of the offense, and off we go. So for these late career wrinkles where we talked yesterday, hey, when is a young guy going to try to do what Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers are doing? In this specific situation, short term, Aaron Rodgers, 2 years, three at the most. Nobody's going to offer Nathaniel Hackett a head coaching job after what happened last year. That does the Jets a favor, too. They don't have to worry about losing Hackett.
He's there.
After this year or next year if Rodgers would stay for a third year. But you have that. You have Sala, Robert Sala, the head coach. And you have something that can work.
Yeah, and last.
Even if it wouldn't work for a young quarterback, but it's going to work with Aaron Rodgers. And it's something, as Rodgers said, that he has not enjoyed, that sense that you've got a defense that is really, really good and really, really well coached to complement a really good offense.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's a little bit like, you know, Tony Dungy and the Colts with Peyton Manning. Oh, Peyton Manning, Tom Moore, hey, you guys figure out that side of the ball. Dungy and people, right, we'll coach the defense. So the Patriots got like that. McDaniels and Brady and Belichick was handling the defense, right? So, yeah, I think there is some positives here for how things are, you know, formulated for their football team. And, I mean, the Jets – they're incredibly talented. They really are. I mean, you look at their roster. It's one of the best in football. The O-line is really maybe the only thing we question, and the talent there is real. It's just been health and those issues. So I'm excited for them and their opportunities. And I'm excited just to be on the field with them Thursday like we were last year with Jacksonville and the Raiders, right? Last year I got off the field with Jacksonville, and I was like, whoa. I don't know what Jacksonville is going to be, but you remember, I was like, there's studs everywhere. Jacksonville, like, is legit. That's what got me on. If I had to pick one team to go to the playoffs out of nowhere, it'd be the Jaguars. And I'm excited to see the Jets because, yeah, they got everything at all these positions and, you know, really have a team that, I don't want to say Super Bowl roster, but definitely deep playoff run roster. But it's hard to say if all the stars can align and they can get all the same page like Brady did with the Bucs or Stafford with the Rams and that quickly.
A lot of great teams in the AFC. A lot of great teams in the AFC East. Tough road. But to get back to our original point, what happened last week with Sean Payton's comments could be one of those little things that makes a difference between the Jets making the playoffs or not, between the Jets doing what they have to do to win a playoff game where they're down 10 points in the second half and they rally around Aaron Rodgers or they rally around Nathaniel Hackett or whatever it may be. This moment that just kind of happened could resonate deep into the season. Not that there'll be a straight line back to it, but it's just the kind of thing that could make a difference.
Yeah.
All these other factors come into play. Something like that maybe makes a difference. All right, Peter King spoke to Aaron Rodgers about his – decision to take $33.7 million less over the next 2 years. We wrote over the weekend about the details of the seven-year contract with no void, no out. He's either going to retire or get cut, and I think he's going to play at least 2, maybe 3 years. Here he is from yesterday talking about his contract and the flexibility it gives to the New York Jets.
There's obviously more trades now that we see across the league, at least bigger names at the deadline than maybe my first couple years in the league, but you know, this is going to be a few years partnership, and after that, hopefully, there's not a huge kind of cap issue. This to me is a win-win-win for everybody. Win for me, I get paid a ton of money. Win for the team, we get a low cap number and deferred some cash. Win for other guys that we can bring in and sign and. I have no complaints. I'm not missing it at all.
I heard a word there that I wonder if he misspoke.
What?
Did he misspeak? Was it a Freudian slip? He said cash was deferred.
I heard that too.
That means he's going to get it at some point.
Yeah.
That means he didn't just give it up as it's been characterized. And if, as we assume, Aaron Rodgers is a super genius, he doesn't make mistakes like that. Maybe he does.
Well, he
I don't
still
know.
Could have some. You took the pay cut and still have money being deferred.
I've seen the full structure. We've written about the full structure. There's nothing deferred.
Right.
He gave up $33.7 million.
Yeah.
Now, there's that weird roster bonus in year three of $35 million that, in theory, they could pay him, he could retire, and they could exercise their prerogative not to ask for it back. Now, that would make the cap hit.
Yeah.
Especially the year after his
retirement, it would be 26. It would be like a $63 million cap hit. But as it stands, he's talking about not having a big cap hit when he goes. As it stands, if he plays 2 years and walks away, and they process the retirement post June 1, $14 million in 2025, $35 million in 2026. That's still a pretty big bill to pay.
Right.
But that's part of what they're doing.
Right.
And that was always going to be the case when you bring in the Aaron Rodgers $100 million over 2 years. Whatever that number is going to be, whether it's $100 million or whether it's $75 million, you're going minimal cap charge now. 8.8 of that $75 million hits now. Right. Well, the rest of it's going to hit at some point. People ask us all the time, what does this whole cap hit mean? Look, dollars are dollars. You pay the dollars, and they're going to hit the cap at some point, either now or later. And with a great quarterback, there's always that rip the Band-Aid off year. The Bucs are doing it this year with Tom Brady and $35 million. The Saints did it with Drew Brees. The Steelers did it with Ben Roethlisberger. The Patriots did it when Tom Brady left. It was $14 million, which seemed like a lot at the time, which is child's play now compared to some of these numbers.
Right.
So when he said deferred, that caught me. I hadn't heard the quote before, but it made me think. And, you know, my theory is even if he doesn't get that $33.7 million back in some way, he's going to buy a piece of the team when he retires, and it's going to appreciate more than $33.7 million.
Right.
There's a vague and amorphous quid pro quo floating around out there somewhere, and his use of the word deferred makes me think that it wasn't just some Mother Teresa gesture by him to Woody Johnson. Here's $33.7 million.
Right.
I know you need it.
Yeah.
There's a bigger play.
Well, maybe there is. For right now, you know, for what it is right now, it's still impressive in what he's doing. Now, I will say, like, teams sometimes give you the option, even though he agreed and you saw the contract terms, he could say, hey, some of those years, you know, you hold the cash or whatever, and it collects interest and whatever else, and that maybe lessens the burden.
But it doesn't affect the cap.
No, it doesn't affect the
cap.
I know, that's what I mean. It would just be, that's personally between him and the Jets or whatever. That does go on. So maybe that's the case, but I don't know. You're right.
It's rare that the player doesn't initiate, though. That's the team that has cash flow issues.
Some of the really rich teams have, and yes, you're taking – some of the really rich players will defer at times. And, yes, they're doing a solid for the team who's going, we don't have a ton of cash, and this would help us out a little if you didn't ask for it all right now, right? So I think that could go on too. But I will say, here's the two things that jump out. He's backed himself into a corner of definitely 2 years with the Jets, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, now it's like, wait, is he going to maybe think about a third year? I mean, that's how he's talked here. So I found that interesting. And, you know, the one thing, again, where, hey, it's popular for quarterbacks to take less right now and help the football team and do all that. He took significantly less. And I think, you know, what he said there, not a dig at the Green Bay Packers, but a little bit of like, yeah, I took less because, you know, we might want somebody at the trade deadline, which I never got in my freaking life in 17 freaking years playing for the Green Bay Packers. We never traded for anybody significant. Every year, like you've said, you've made fun of. Whether they were just going to appease to him.
They made him think.
Sure.
They made him think they tried and they didn't try.
It's every year. You know,
it was the Bart Simpson gift with the cake that says, at least you tried,
dumped
into the trash can.
Right. So that's where, you know, I think he's probably looking at it that way too and going, hey, you know, what if we get to the trade deadline and we're sitting there teetering where we're going, damn, we're good, but we could use this one piece to kind of.
The Rams are struggling and Aaron Donald wants
I mean, you just never know what could pop up, right? Or they have a problem, you know, their offensive line gets hurt and all of a sudden there's a left tackle available, right? And you go, man, if they just have the left tackle, they're going to be one of the best teams in football. So
here's
giving
the problem,
them that flexibility.
Here's the problem. Yeah. And you're right. Yeah. We talked about this with Odell Beckham Jr. when he was available during the 2021 season, and the Packers supposedly tried to get him.
We had no cap.
It
happened with Stephon Gilmore, too.
Offer.
Right.
It was nothing.
Right.
It was peanuts.
Right.
But unless Aaron Rodgers was just willing to go along with it and not make waves during football season.
I think he was.
You know, that was the year that he did the airing of grievances press conference to start training camp, though. He seemed to accept their explanation, but they made a very half-hearted effort at best to try to get Odell Beckham Jr. Here's the problem now, though. When it's time to explore who's available, whether it's – and he also mentioned to Peter King the possibility of guys getting cut right before the season starts. There could be an opportunity to enhance the roster there as
well.
He's going to expect them to do it.
Definitely.
And And they've kind of empowered him
100%.
To go
I was just
knock on Joe Douglas's door and say, hey, Joe, yeah. Joe, wake up. Let's go.
He's part of the King's court there right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're exactly right. I mean, it's going to put pressure on the Jets, and he's going to be in those conversations. They've emboldened him that way. You could tell. He's a part of things. Listen, I know people at the Jets. These guys with the Jets, they've never been around a guy, and when I say a guy, I mean a franchise, Hall of Fame, upper room.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit like, whoa, he's doing this, and he's doing that, and he's doing this. And, you know, not that I was a superstar or anything, but, I know quarterbacks like that. And, I want to say, like, at times, go, yeah, this is what, you know, baller quarterbacks do. They come in, they take control, they make the whole franchise feel like, whoa, we're better because he's here. Whoa, he's smart, you know. And they make the atmosphere in such a way to where, yeah, they've embraced it. And now he's more than a quarterback. He is part of the organization there right now altogether, and I'm sure they pick his brain just about everything as it goes as far as that team.
Since Brett Favre started every game of the 2008 season,
yeah.
A year that had great promise until the partially torn biceps tendon contributed to that. Just they went from one seed to down, down, down they go and out of the playoffs. Since then, Mark Sanchez, Kellen Clemens, Greg McElroy, Geno Smith, Michael Vick, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Bryce Petty, Josh McCown, Sam Darnold, Luke Falk, Trevor Siemian, Joe Flacco, Zach Wilson, Mike White, Josh Johnson.
That's amazing.
That's the quarterbacks the Jets have had
absolutely
start games
amazing.
Since then.
Yeah.
So now in comes Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And yes, it's palpable. If you know anybody connected to the Jets, they've got this, holy crap, like, holy crap. The moment he walks on
exactly,
the field.
Right.
Holy crap.
Right.
And it's going to – I know they've got – and we don't hear much about it now that camp started – this loose idea that there's going to be a passing of the baton from Aaron Rodgers to Zach Wilson.
Right.
You're not going to hear a lot of that talk because I think one of the things they're going to learn from this experience with Aaron Rodgers – Zach Wilson's never going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
This is never going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And watch. And, you can, Pete, go ahead and mark the time and hold it for the day that Zach Wilson's entering the Hall of Fame. But I think they know. And if Rodgers is thinking about playing a third year.
Yeah, that really puts that.
Because even as it stands,
Zach
if
Wilson's
Rodgers plays
spot.
2 years,
yeah.
Zach Wilson is still, if you exercise his fifth-year option, a free agent.
Right.
You may not even have Zach Wilson as an option if Rodgers decides to hang around for 3 years.
Yeah.
But
you're exactly right. It's either going to flush it out and they're going to go, wait, Zach Wilson's not even in the stratosphere of being a franchise quarterback, or they're going to go, whoa, you know, he's made a left-hand
yes.
turn here.
He's unlocked something. Rodgers unlocked something.
Exactly.
In Zach Wilson.
It's going to go one way or the other. And I don't know which way that'll go. So far, the reports have been good.
But that's where it all gets very awkward based on how long Rodgers wants to play. Because, again, this is year three for Zach Wilson. Next year is contract year. They have to make a decision by early May whether or not to pick up the fifth-year option. That's when they get into this delicate territory of how far does this go. Is this year three? This is year three.
Yeah, okay. You're right.
So it would run it if Rodgers would play 3 years, it would
take it through
the fifth-year option.
They have to exercise the option, though, next year, right? In the offseason.
Right.
So that's where we'll get that
They're going to need to know how long is Rodgers going to be.
Yeah.
After this year, they need to know, are you here one more year or are you here two
and
more
And they're
years?
Going to have to see, wait, does Zach Wilson making the progress and going in the right direction and will extend
Why
that
would
fifth-year
you?
Option?
Now,
or
the fifth-year option is calculated differently than it used to be. It's driven by how well you play, but it's still a significant investment
in
a guy that – I mean, look at what the Packers didn't want to give it to Jordan Love this year, and he hasn't played at all.
Right. No, they're not going to give it to him as it stands right now. Because what they're going to play is going, hey, we like you here. We've developed you. You're good here. Like kind of like Daniel Jones with the Giants.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we stuck you know, with you through all this crap, right? Who else is going to like you more than we do, right? You've built something here to a degree. Do you really want to go somewhere else and have the fan base go, oh, we got Zach Wilson, and then you have to prove yourself to the coaches? So they'll use that against him to keep him there if it comes to that or when it gets to that point.
It took me a little while to get there, but I finally got there.
Okay.
So the way it goes, Zach Wilson's contract expires after the 2024 season. They're going to have to pick up the fifth-year option. They won't do that.
Right.
So do they hand the baton from Rodgers to Wilson as Wilson is becoming a free agent? That's the other side of it, too. You better get that contract with Zach Wilson done if that's what you're going to do. Otherwise, you got to franchise tag him. And he hasn't played since his second year. Yeah, there's a weird.
There's a lot of stuff.
And they don't care. The Jets don't care. Good problem to have. We have Aaron Rodgers.
That's all they care
Everything
about
else
right
is details.
It's all about
we'll worry
now.
About it later. We got 2 years with Aaron Rodgers.
All gas, no brakes.
He gave up 30. Yeah. He gave up $33.7 right. million. Dollars, a little icing on top of the cherry on top of the cake. So we're good. Yeah. We'll worry about Zach Wilson later. And we'll find somebody else later. Maybe there's another Aaron Rodgers out there.
That's one thing I'm going to petition.
What? Jack. All gas, no brakes?
No, I want one of those Gotham City ones that they've been wearing there. That's one thing I'm going to – I am going to petition on the field and pregame tomorrow to somebody to sneak me a damn sweatshirt. I want a sweatshirt. Yeah.
Do they
I don't know. There's
do
no,
you really
there's no
think
rules.
That'll work?
It might.
Just start going up to people and tapping them on the shoulder, saying,
you know,
"Can I have
I,
one
I
of those
might,
sweatshirts?"
I might have to, you know. Hey, I'm from Jersey. You're the Jets. You practice in Jersey. Come on, do me a solid here. Give me a damn sweatshirt.
We'll get to see it again because here's Aaron Rodgers talking about something that he hasn't done in a long time, and we know he typically doesn't like to do playing in the preseason.
I wouldn't mind playing in the preseason. I wouldn't mind. If Rob said, hey, we're going to go whatever, cool, let's do it. Most coaches just have that fear where they'd rather get you to the week one than risk it. But I believe there's a chance for the last one, and that we'll probably use Carolina and Tampa, those joint practices, as kind of our preseason tune-up. But if Robert says, hey, we're going to go a quarter or quarter and a half or a half, whatever, in the last one, then we'll suit up and do it.
But the fear is real. It's the only way a quarterback's going to get injured before week one because he's got the red jersey on. Now, accidents happen, fluke things, but even in these joint practices, you're not touchable. So you're protected. Now, you could have the Joe Burrow acceleration and out goes the calf, but yeah, you don't want to put Aaron Rodgers in harm's way and then have like a Mike Vick. Remember that? Broke his leg against the Ravens,
Ravens,
in a preseason game 2003 and missed most of the year, derailed what would have been the ascension of his career.
Yep.
You don't. Why do you want to put that kind of risk on something that is meaningless if you can get your work in those joint practices and get your timing down there?
It's tough. It is tough. I mean, Rodgers, you know, typically he does not need preseason. You know, the way he said it right there, did you get the feel you saying more like he didn't really want to play it, or actually he's like, actually I think it might be good for me to play a little bit. You know, there's a part of me that goes, hey, you know, it might be good to get out there in front of the fans with the new team, and you just get some of those you know, thoughts and emotions and whatever else out of the way, you know, in the preseason, so you're not having some of those emotions when you're walking to the line and you're going, damn, we're down 7-0 against the Bills, and now I'm having it. Like, Josh Allen just went down and scored. We're down 7-0. And I'm like, whoa, we're out here. This is the Jets. Oh, man, all these things that go through your mind as a player, you know, I'd want to go out at least for a drive or two at some point. I know that. But, damn, he's Aaron Rodgers. He sees the game in slow motion, so he certainly can get away with it.
My impression in recent years had been he just wants nothing to do with
it
and doesn't want to be bothered with it. And I just wonder – how much of his attitude and approach to football the past 5, 6, 7 years has been a manifestation of just how pissed off he's been with the front office? Like, does he just not – is it like, I'm not messing with the preseason. I'm not messing with the offseason. I don't want to be around you guys. I don't want to do anything with you people until I have to do it. You know, you've treated me like a peon. Your attitude is you just work here. You don't listen to my input on anything. With each passing year, I have more valuable insight and experience.
I think you could be onto something there.
And I'm just done.
Right.
I'm done.
Right.
I'm not doing anything above and beyond. Yeah, I'm not doing anything above and beyond the call of duty. It's because you've crossed a bridge that I can't uncross.
I don't think that's a crazy thought. I'm with you there.
And now, that's the thing. I don't know how genuine this euphoria is now, because so much of it is not so subtle middle finger back to Green Bay, the front office there. Like, see, this is what happens when you properly regard an upper room Deion Sanders Hall of Fame talent, and you appreciate what you have. You get things like $33.7 million. You get things like me wanting to play in the preseason. You get things like me being around for the offseason program. When you give me the respect that I have,
I think he's been willing to make those sacrifices. He's been willing to make those sacrifices. This is why his contract was so low forever. You know, I think you're right. I think there's some of that at play here, no doubt about that.
All right, we need to take a break. When we return, Saints running back Alvin Kamara has a significant meeting today. that could determine whether we will see him early in the 2023 season. We'll be back with more PFT Live from close to camp right after this.